Good evening, everybody. I welcome you all to Midweek Bible Study. It's another time to study the Word of God together. We've been on a series in the last few months looking at the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The title of the series has actually been Our Helper, the Holy Spirit. And in the beginning of this series, for those who joined while we were still having services physically, it was to look at the person of the Holy Spirit, his activity in the Old Testament, his activity in the New Testament, and then we've now come down to looking at the role and function of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers. We've gone through several teachings, looking at different aspects of his role, of his work, of his ministry in our lives, and now we're looking at the enablement or the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're in a section of that part of the series that we've titled The Manifestation of the Spirit. And our text has largely been from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, this evening, I will just read the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm actually thinking that most of us who have been following in this section of the series will probably be almost able to quote these verses of scripture by heart. So get ready as we read. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But verse 7, that's one of the verses that we've really drilled down on. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every one or every man severally as he will. And in the last few weeks, we've defined generally what the manifestation of the Spirit is, and then we've gone ahead to start to describe different manifestations of the Spirit. I'm hoping that we can finish all these descriptions today, and then next week we will probably wrap up this series. Don't forget, you can always ask questions as we go along on our WhatsApp group or even on the MixLR chat group. In the last few weeks, we've defined and looked at several examples of many of these manifestations as described for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We started off looking at the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Then we went on to the manifestation of faith. And then last week, we looked at the gift of healing and the working of miracles. So today, I'm hoping we can describe the remaining four. The remaining four. One of the reasons why I'm optimistic about this is because prophecy is in this group. And we spent quite a bit of time when we looked at the giftings of the Spirit, defining prophecy and looking at several things that are associated with that phenomenon, if you remember. If you don't remember, then you can go back and get the clip. The audio clip is available. If you can't find it, ask our media team and they will send you that clip. So today we'll start with prophecy. Prophecy. Defined simply, prophecy is speaking, writing, or otherwise communicating a message from God to a person or persons. That's a simple way that it can be defined. As we had looked at earlier in this series, like I mentioned, prophecy really relates to receiving a direct revelation from God, sometimes involving the past, the present, or the future, about people, about nations, or even events. or even about events. But one thing we should note, and I won't say more than that about prophecy, is that the manifestation of prophecy, as we find in 1 Corinthians, is to strengthen, encourage, and comfort people. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's Bible study, you know, so we will read our Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and verse 3. It says, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men for edification and exhortation and comfort." And so the manifestation of the gift of prophecy, as we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is to strengthen, encourage, and comfort people. When we read further in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we will see that through the operation of the manifestation of prophecy, there can be a revelation of the secrets of men's hearts, and the reason is so that they can be closer to God. Let's read it, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, because many times through the operation of the manifestation of prophecy, God reveals the hearts of people, not just for the sake of revealing their hearts, but so that they will stand in awe of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 24. It says, "But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all." Verse 25. "And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth." And so, when there's a manifestation of the gift of prophecy, it many times reveals things that are going on in the hearts and in the lives of people, and it makes people stand in awe of God. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3 also says it is to strengthen, encourage, and comfort people. All right, I won't say more than that. If you have any questions, you can ask, because I just want us to finish. Right, we'll move on next to the manifestation of the descending of spirits. And this manifestation of the Spirit is something that occurs in which God reveals information to people about the presence or non-presence of spirits. Or God gives insights into the spiritual inspiration behind things. At that part of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, the word "descending" is the English translation of the Greek word "diakrisis." Diakrisis. And that word is, if I were to use a phrase, would mean something like a judicial estimation. The word refers to seeing right through the external to the inner reality with a judgment that is based on insight. And usually, by the operation of this manifestation of the Spirit, a believer is enabled by the Spirit of God to know immediately what is motivating a person or a situation. And of course, the word "spirit," as we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is the Greek word "pneuma." And apart from figuratively meaning a spirit, a human spirit, it could also mean the vital principle behind a thing or the mental disposition. And so it could mean the mind, disposition, or the vital principle behind something. And so that's why I said that the descending of spirits may actually relate to having insight about the presence of a spirit or spirits or receiving insight into the spiritual inspiration behind a thing or an occurrence. Now, I must make a distinction. You see, it is true that God expects His children to learn to discern between good and evil. In fact, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." So yeah, it is true. God expects His children to have a sense of discernment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 19. It says, "Do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil." That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 19 to 22. And of course, to accomplish this and to help us in this task of discernment, God has given us His word. But the gift, the manifestation of the discernment or discerning of spirits, is not the discernment that can be learned by study of God's word. It is true, a thorough knowledge and understanding of the word of God would equip every believer to have an increased discernment of good and evil, but that is not the discernment that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is talking about. Don't forget, we define manifestation of the Spirit as an instantaneous, spontaneous activity of the Holy Spirit whereby He produces an enablement in the life of a believer to accomplish a certain thing. And so the discerning of spirits in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a spiritual discernment, a knowledge that is given directly by the Holy Spirit and not the knowledge that comes as a result of study, training, instruction, or even maturity in the things of God. A biblical commentator that I respect so much, and I read a lot of his materials, is Wayne Grudem. And he's written a systematic theology book. And this is the way he describes the descending of spirits. He says it is a distinguishing between spirits, a special ability to recognize the influence of the Holy Spirit or of demonic spirits in a person. If I just, you know, probably expand a bit beyond Wayne Grudem's definition, and then I look at the experiences. Don't forget, I told you, and we've said it over this period, that the experiences of the prophets in the Old Testament, the encounters that we find narrated about the events in the life of Jesus, and what we find in the book of Acts give us the background and the understanding of what these experiences of the Holy Spirit that are described as manifestation of the Spirit are really about. And so when we look at the experiences that we find in the scriptures that would fit into this description of descending of spirits, they would suggest to us that there are perhaps about three forms of operation of this manifestation. The first will be spiritual insight into the inspiration behind an action of a person or persons. We find this kind of example in the book of Acts chapter 5. That's the story of Peter and the encounter with Ananias and Sapphira, if you remember. Permit me to just go to that passage and read to you something that Peter said. You will find it in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 from verse 1. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold the possession and kept back part of the prize, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now verse 3. Now look at this operation. "And Peter said, but Peter said, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" And so, you see, nobody told Peter anything, right? It wasn't a natural suspicious attitude that Peter had, no. It was revealed to Peter by the Holy Spirit. It was a supernatural insight into the inspiration behind Ananias and Sapphira's action. Now, other people may have looked at it and said, wow, what a good deed, what a good thing. But Peter, by the enablement of the Holy Spirit, saw beyond what they did externally and saw the inspiration behind their action. The second form is what we see in Acts chapter 16. And that is where there was a discernment or discerning that an evil spirit was at work in someone. We find this in Acts chapter 16. This is the story of Paul's encounter with the slave girl. Pastor Ebu mentioned this encounter briefly when she preached to us on Sunday. And so in Acts chapter 16, if you remember, there was this slave girl that had been possessed by a demon, a wicked spirit, and kept following Paul and his companions around. But what she was saying was actually true. She was saying, these men are servants of the Most High. Listen to them, listen to them. Now, I know some of us would have felt really cool that after all, even, you know, someone we don't know is validating our ministry. But obviously, Paul, under the influence of the Spirit, recognized that it was an evil spirit that was at work in the lady, and he cast out the spirit. So that was a recognition that an evil spirit was at work in someone. The third one that many people don't talk about, but I see to also be true from Scripture, is where there's supernatural insight into the activity of angels. We find this in 2 Kings chapter 6. In that story, Elisha was able to see the angelic beings as they took their places of battle. In that section of that story, God actually opened the eyes of Elisha to see into the spirit realm. And not only that, even Elisha prayed for his servant Gehazi, and Gehazi too was able to see. 2 Kings chapter 6, you'll find that story there. And so we see this manifestation of the discerning or discernment of spirits, where by the operation of the Spirit, we are able, as energized or as enabled by the Holy Spirit, to have insight about the presence or non-presence of spirits, or insight into the spiritual inspiration behind an action or behind an event. The next one we'll briefly talk about, because they are together really, is speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Now, some people have said speaking in tongues is just the ability to be able to speak a foreign language, and that it is very useful in missionaries who have to, for instance, maybe go to South America and learn the language of the people there. While it is good to be multilingual, the manifestation of the Spirit that is described as speaking in tongues does not talk about a special aptitude to be able to learn a known language. Speaking in tongues, as we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is speaking a language, either of men, a known language, or even a language that is not known to men, that you do not understand, that you had never previously learned, but it is given to you by God. But it is given to you by God. And specifically, the one in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 actually refers to when there's a specific message that the Holy Spirit has given to you to be conveyed to other people. And it is different from when speaking in tongues is employed for personal communication with God, as we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And so in the manifestation of tongues, there's actually a message that God has given to you
but he conveys it to you in a language that you do not understand. And there always has to be the companion manifestation of the interpretation of tongues, in which what has been spoken in tongues is then interpreted. I use the word interpreted and not translated, because it is not a word-for-word translation of what was uttered in tongues, but it's to give the sum and substance in a language that the people there understand of what has been spoken in tongues. The only biblical example that I can refer to of this kind of manifestation is what we find in Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. We will read it. Daniel chapter 5 has this remarkable experience narrated for us of the writing on the wall. The writing on the wall. So I'm going to read, for the sake of time, I'm just going to read from verse 24. Daniel chapter 5 from verse 24. So of course, you know what happened here. A hand appeared on the wall and then wrote. So verse 24, it says, "Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written," and this is the writing that was written, "Mene, mene, tekel, ophasin." Mene, mene, tekel, ophasin. Now look at verse 26. It says, this is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, just a single word, right? Mene. But see the interpretation. God had numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou had weighed in the balances and had found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And so, four words written on a wall, but the interpretation was more than just four words. So it wasn't simply a word for word translation. It was an interpretation of what was said and written in tongues. I still remember an experience that I had. So I wasn't the one who had this message in tongues. I went for a program, a church meeting, years back in Ilorin. And Reverend George Adeboye of Rema Chapel International held the mic and then started speaking in tongues. And he spoke and he spoke and he spoke and he spoke. It was either a midweek service or something, right? And then we all left. The next Sunday, apparently during the week, one of the church members had approached him and told him, Reverend George had been speaking a language known to men that he did not know. It was a local dialect from that man's area. And he apparently had been communicating specific messages to the church. And I've had also experiences where I've been in meetings and people have come forth to give messages in tongues with interpretations. And it's important to recognize that these are still valid experiences of the Holy Spirit even now. And nothing should rob us of these things. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said to his disciples, "And ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you." It's the promise of an empowerment of the Holy Spirit for every believer. And part of his empowerment in our lives is in the sphere of spiritual gifts and the manifestation of the Spirit. It's important to recognize, as 1 Corinthians then goes on to tell us, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives is more evidently manifested in an atmosphere of love, peace, and sincerity. And so as we recognize the ability of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it's important also for us to know that as we display and as we move in an attitude, in an atmosphere of love, peace, and sincerity, then the manifestation of the Spirit is more powerfully evident and manifested in our lives. We'll continue next week. Don't forget, you can ask questions.